Hi, I'm Alec.
I'm Eric.
We're the Petchy Brothers.
And this is Story Tap, where we try to tap the potential of an idea by turning it into a story.
This week, Charlie and Ebb Solve Crimes, a goofy procedural detective buddy comedy.
I mean, The Punisher and Shadow have very similar mindsets, even if they do have very different ways of carrying it out.
So violence.
There was Chuck and Psyche. They were on at the same time.
Okay, yeah. That seems like the same moment. I thought you were going to be like, so we'll do like a wacky Punisher.
Oh, gosh.
Actually, you know what? I'm with the Punisher would be hilarious if you just did all of the fight, played the Benny Hill song over all the fight scenes. But that's true of everything. Do, 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 do.
But a funny detective show in that basically, I think it was when this episode comes out, last week we did serious detective show, you know, the usual cop formulaic.
Procedural like, crime drama, yeah.
Procedural crime drama. Now we're doing the procedural crime comedy. It's essentially the same kind of formula when it comes to episode structure. We get a new case, and then we solve it by the end, and then we have some character development. It's just, and then the sort of will they, won't they romance in there as well.
Right. Okay. So, like, where do we want to put the cap on that? Bones is where we want to put the cap, because we hate it.
Oh, gosh.
Maybe unfairly, but whatever.
I liked Bones as a kid, and then I remember, this was a very big part of me growing up, was seeing... How can you manage being a forensics detective, this and that, and having a baby? And I was like, are you? I thought, no. And then I abandoned it after that. I was like, that was the dumbest commercial I've ever seen.
Fair enough.
So, Chuck, I'm following the Chuck and Psyche formula for the most part, but remind me if I'm missing anything. It seems to me that for like a comedy crime drama... a procedural crime comedy, the protagonist has to be wittier, if not outright smarter than everybody else, for that audience self-insert. But they also need something to elevate them, something like bordering even on supernatural, because it's not a detective solving crimes, it's the average Joe who just happens to be in the crime-solving position. With Psyche, James Roday plays Sean Spencer, who has, like, perfect recall and would make the perfect detective, but he's just
raised by his dad to be a detective and then just didn't want to.
Exactly.
And so he fakes being psychic.
So he has to fake being psychic. There you go. Like, he's pretending to be something supernatural, and really he is just supernatural in his ability, pretty much. Chuck... He gets a CIA supercomputer, like, downloaded into his brain, is how they put it in the show.
It shows him a bunch of images really fast, and it's like, now you know all this stuff, right?
Yeah, so, like, the CIA and the NSA have to use him for tracking bad guys down.
Right.
So...
Which famous guy is in that? Is it Matt Bomer or is it Henry Cavill?
It's Adam Levi.
No, I mean, isn't there another famous guy in it?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's Matt Bomer.
Okay. I know it's Zachary Levi.
Yeah.
Did you just call him Adam Levi?
I call him Adam.
Okay, yeah.
Why did I call him Adam?
I just said...
Zachary Levi. I called him Adam.
Yeah.
He's like the only Hollywood guy who would ever listen to our podcast, and I just got his name wrong. Oh my gosh.
Zachary, okay. If you're listening to this, we didn't mean to.
And where's Video Game High School Season 4 now?
Well, he wasn't even in Season 2.
Well, yeah, but he's tight with Freddie Wong. Freddie was in Chuck.
Oh!
And that might be where they met, or I don't know.
I don't know. Who knows why anybody does anything?
No, I never watched that show while it was on, but watching it from start to finish is a lot of fun. Which is the kind of feeling I want to give to another viewer about our show. So, I think we're right in assuming that the protagonist should be just... a totally normal guy, but like super witty, huh? Not really book smart, but street smart, am I right?
Right.
and some supernatural thing, either that they just have, that they sort of put their own little twist on to force themselves into the, you know, cool world of being a detective, and we can play with that a little more, flesh that out a little more. Alternatively, it could be something thrust upon them, like a supercomputer downloaded into their brain. So we're just following the formula of these two shows. I didn't watch Monk. So which one do we want to go with more? I have this secret sauce, and I'm going to keep it hidden, and I just want to seem like a really good detective, or, oh, I don't know anything about all of that, but we need you, guys.
Then somebody threw the secret sauce on you.
Yeah. The secret sauce has stained your clothes.
Yeah, exactly. Okay.
That was dumb.
That was dumb. I loved it, though. So clearly, our show will be about a saucier whose secret sauce can help him solve crimes.
Yes.
All right. I don't know. Let's go with a forced on you idea. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Well, like, we can explain anything as, like, head injury.
Yeah, that's very true.
Gets hit by a car, and they put a metal plate in his skull, and now he can see dead people. He can see murder victims.
Yeah. Okay. Murder victims.
I don't know if I actually want to do that.
Do we want to go with the outright supernatural? But I hate those shows.
All
the ones that are like, oh, I can talk to dead people, and I see ghosts. And
I heard Pushing Daisies was actually really good, but I'll have to go watch it and find out. And we can't rip off Pushing Daisies
exactly
because we didn't watch it. So you know what? Let's take the other strategy because we don't want to do that.
So they have something that they have their secret sauce. Okay, that makes it a little more fun.
I think
they like do it just because they feel like it.
Yeah,
and then that leaves a lot more room. I think that's why I like Psych so much.
Yeah, that's more like Psych and Castle. Castle. I don't know if you've ever watched Castle, but what Nathan Fillion plays a mystery writer who like stumbles into a first case with an NYPD detective, and then he just keeps doing it because that's what he does. He turns out to be really good at solving crimes because he spends all day thinking of creative ways to murder people.
Ooh, we're stealing that.
Okay.
Instead of a mystery writer, it's a podcaster. Like someone who just like has a blog, a YouTube channel, and a podcast, and they go through cold cases, and they basically, it's them showing off. It's not them being like, I'm here to dramatize the past and like get justice for people. It's like, check it out. The cops, literally, the police force couldn't solve this, and I did it in a day. And, like, he's actually a huge help. And that leaves so much room for, you know, detectives and cops to hate him.
Oh, yeah.
This is great.
That is an insufferable person, but in a way that would be fun.
Yeah.
To watch on TV.
Yeah. Oh, man. That would be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm digging it.
Okay.
So we have our insufferable protagonist.
Okay, we have our insufferable protagonist. I like that. What sort of changes in life? I feel like we can definitely start from, like, true crime blogger and podcaster.
Mm-hmm.
I imagine it'd be a major city, just so you have somewhere with a lot of crime that you can do. I don't know. L.A., Chicago, New York.
Yeah. Do we want to go with the beach? Do we want to go with the city?
Let's do Chicago. I like Chicago. Okay, and also just because city. We really like The Dark Knight and that that version of Gotham is a Chicago copy paste.
Dope. Right. Okay. I've only been to Chicago once and that was like 10 years ago.
L trains instead of subways. It's New York sort of.
Okay, cool.
Okay, Chicago people. Sorry, I don't know enough about your city. And if we ever make a show there, we'll show up and we'll do a lot of research.
I'm not nearly as worldly as I'd like to be. You know what I mean? Someone's like, oh, France. And I'm like, Eiffel Tower, Arc de Triomphe,
Normandy? A third thing.
I think Napoleon's buried there. is he? I don't know.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't know where in... I forget. But I've been to his... I went and saw his big coffin.
So, who is... So, the way we usually frame a movie beginning is the character's life at home and the character's life at work. And I think, since we're following more of a psych formula, it would be reasonable to have the characters who surround our protagonist here. He should have the familiar people he already knows and that he has like a stronger connection with. And that should be like his life at home. Those are the people who aren't really involved in the cases, but will help him out. And then we'll have the characters at work. Those will be the detectives, the chief of police or whoever, and, you know, all the people he has to work with who don't want to help him. And then there will be one character that has connections on both sides. So, but what I'm talking about is psych.
Uh-huh.
There is Sean Spencer, the protagonist. He's got Burton Guster. He's got Gus, his homie, on at home, helping him actively. We've got Lassiter and Jules, the detectives, who he is helping, who don't want to work with him, necessarily. And then we've got his dad, who, you know, is an ex-cop, ex-detective, but is his dad.
Right, okay.
Right there, we've already got three categories. We'll come up with at least one character for each, you know what I mean?
Yes, okay, okay. I like this. And I think I have sort of, like, a way to kick this off.
Nice.
I think this works well if our character is like a journalist and a historian. What he does is looks at old crimes, like really old crimes. He's like, he does a true crime history podcast. It's like, I don't know, called like, Murder in the South Side. Or on the South Side. I don't know how you refer to it. That's the only thing I know about Chicago, is they've got a South Side. Okay. And he just talks about it. And he talks a lot about, like, the incompetence of Chicago PD. Ooh. And being like, I got this, like, this is pretty pathetic. Easy. I got it in an hour. I can't believe they couldn't get a conviction out of it.
Yeah.
I get that we didn't really use DNA yet, but come on. The fingerprints alone should have been enough to take it to the DA. What, you mess that up too? And I think that what happens is he spends all of this time looking back, and somebody leaves him like an envelope about a crime that has occurred recently, or like something that is about to happen. Uh-huh. And it's like, he says, it's like, okay, I have the opportunity to actually do some good.
Okay.
Like, or freaking out because, like, you know, I think that is that sort of like, he takes this very academic approach be super smart. And then he finds himself confronted with a situation which, like, his way of thinking has collided with reality.
Okay. How about, I do have some notes.
Uh-huh.
But I think they're good ones. I think you'll agree.
Okay.
Feel free to disagree.
Go. Let's go.
Instead of him being the historian and him being the one who, like, goes through the cases and knows the data and all of that, he's not all about any of that nerd crap. He has his friend Gurton Buster handle all of that. He's
the
historian. He's the genius. All the protagonist here does is find the narrative and dramatize it as much as possible. So he does solve the case, but without any sort of evidence to back it up. He just knows he's right because he knows, maybe he's like a psychologist kind of deal. He just knows how people think. He knows how people will react to things. So just by looking at the case, he's like, why didn't they interrogate the butler? And they're like, because there was no evidence pointed to the butler. But he's like, but it was so clearly him. And then he just sticks it on Buster to, you know, look into it and find things out. And then Buster is like, there's like a 90% chance the butler did it. And he's like, obviously. But so, you know, you see where I'm going.
Yep.
He gets that envelope and then he already solves it. He gets back to the person. Oh my gosh, big twist. I just thought of this. It's like Inception. My brain is thinking of the story faster than I can. Big twist. He like starts recording the episode, and then he like texts the number that came with it, and he's like, hey, big thanks for this. This was a really dope potential episode. Kathy is the murderer, by the way. Ha ha. And then he's like, I'm about to hand this off to Buster. You know, like, not jumping through hoops, going around the hoops and, you know, excising everyone from the process, doing it the shortcut way. He pays for it. He's like, I'm about to hand this off to Buster. What's the, like, the case number or anything? And then they give him the case number, and then Buster looks it up, and he's like, dude, there is nothing in the files about of this case number. And he's like, yeah, what's wrong with that? This is a current case going on right now. You just let some random guy... Like, you just convinced some random dude that someone is definitely guilty of this crime. So that's the, like, thing they get swept up in. They now have to go save Kathy because there is zero evidence. But, oh my gosh, that's so much room for, like, a really cool pilot. Yeah. Because the detectives have been willing to look the wrong way this whole time. Because they're like, yeah, you just sort of help us solve cold cases and we hate you, but...
Yeah.
Like, props.
Yeah.
And now he's, like, guilty of a straight-up crime.
Yeah, okay, making that really accusation. Like that.
And, you know, whoever he sent that text to is, you know, has a vendetta of this unsolved. And so, like, Kathy did do it. Because, you know, he's that street smart.
He was right.
Oh my gosh, that's so cool.
I really like that. That's a lot of fun. So cool. I guess the question... Shorn and Gurton.
Shorn and Gurton. Buster.
Gurton Buster.
Bus. Shorn and Bus.
Okay, what is the connection to, Chicago, to, like, the police department? What is their connection to the police department? What is, like, I mean, they are... They're best friends. They do the podcast.
The connection. You mean the inter?
Yeah. What's their? Yeah.
What is that? Arbiter character.
Right. Yeah. Because you know we have our Chicago PD detectives. That's I don't know how Chicagoans talk.
It could be. If we do need that arbiter character, it could be a retired. Detective who's like an uncle, but that's stealing too much from Psych. We should take that in a more of a different direction. We could just put a pin in it because...
I mean, like, if his... Maybe his producer is a retired cop. Like, yeah. I don't know how podcasts really work, but I've now done, like, what, 50 episodes of one, but...
We could do ex-girlfriend. Like, an ex-girlfriend who was a current... cop, detective, something or other. Like forensics, maybe.
I mean, I do kind of like that. It's just fun. Will they, won't they? Maybe make her the Emmy medical examiner.
I was like, Emily? Amelia? What? The Emmy medical examiner. I was just thinking that.
Yeah.
That's sandwich. Oh my goodness. The person in the... Yeah, oh my gosh. That would actually be a lot of fun. Having the, like, forensics... Oh my gosh, she's the one person who can, like, talk him down. You know what I mean?
Yep.
He, like, talks circles around people and he thinks he's oh so smart, but she knows him enough that she can just say one thing and he's like, oh.
Yeah.
That would actually be really funny, seeing the protagonist speechless, like, just because of some character knowing them. Yeah. That's pretty funny.
That's funny. All right. That's funny. Cool.
Okay. We should come up with... names. Very generic. What's the mix of, like, you know, Sean and Chuck? Chuck. Chon.
Shachk.
Charles. Chuck for short. Dang it.
Charlie.
Yeah. Charlie.
Okay.
Main character Charlie. Charles, maybe. Dad calls him Charles. Ex-girlfriend calls him Charles. So we've got Charlie. We've got Buster... Buster Scruggs.
Scrooge Jones.
Scrooge Ebenezer. Scrooge Ebb. How about Ebb? His name is Ebenezer, and he hates him when people call him that.
That is such a weird name. That is a great, like it's like a whole episode. That's the Christmas episode. It's Ebb's parents come to town. It's like, you named me Ebenezer.
You didn't know that? I know that now, Ebenezer.
I've known you for 15 years. You named me Ebenezer. He's reformed at the end. It's a beautiful story. My name is Ebenezer.
You named me Ebenezer.
I haven't renewed my driver's license in 10 years.
That's so good. All right, so we've got Eb, we've got Charlie, we've got Emmy, the Emmy. That's pretty good.
Okay, you punch someone in the head for saying that. Emmy the Emmy.
Ah. Okay. Now we need at least one detective. And the detective, maybe, I mean, I really enjoy Stealing from Psych. It's a great show. Maybe one of the detectives doesn't mind him and the other one hates him.
Right. So, we've got Jem and Rin Tin Tin.
I did not follow at all.
Jules, Jem, Lassie, Rin Tin Tin.
Oh, Wishbone.
Wishbone. Rip off.
John Lasseter. How about John and Romeo? Romeo and Juliet, Mercutio, Marcy. We've got Marcy and
John.
You said John. Yeah. Thank you. Okay. John and Marcy, the real detectives of the Chicago PD.
Yeah. The rest of this episode will be Eric and I trying to replicate a Chicago accent without really knowing what that sounds like. It's like Midwestern. That's a Chicago. That's pretty close. Da Bears.
There you go. We've mastered it.
That's enough of it.
So we've got...
There's something to alienate everybody for a second in our podcast. Not like really mad, but annoy.
Okay. Man, we're just masters of our craft, aren't we? We've got another... Oh my gosh, it's only been 23 minutes.
Oh.
I guess this will be a kind of short episode because we kind of struck gold with that back and forth with the envelope and the podcasting. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's awesome. Great. That's a lot of fun.
So I'm thinking...
The rest of this episode will be Eric and I trying to solve an actual murder.
Oh no, we gotta do that. All right, well, good thing we got so much time left. I think this is a lot of fun because... What is our main character's name? Oh no, Charlie.
Charlie.
I don't dig that, but it'll work for now. Because Charles here... I just don't like it. Charlie, I think a lot of fun will come from Charlie thinking he knows who it is. Because he'll figure out the most dramatic suspect. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And him throwing out wild accusations. And then, but because he just knows how people think, what he's actually doing is just trying to get like a certain reaction out of people. But again, not knowing the law, he won't know when he's, you know, making something inadmissible.
Right.
Like, you know, how... In every episode of Psych, they'll sneak into somewhere without a warrant.
Yeah.
So that when the cops show up with a warrant, he can come in and pretend to, like, have a vision.
Yeah. I found a knife.
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, where did you... Did you go into his house? Yeah. The door was open. You are a random person. Went to the house. Do you know how? Like, I'll just send it in anonymously. It'll be totally admissible. It will not. Because there's no chain of evidence. There's no... What?
Your fingerprints are all over the place.
I'm gonna go
wet wipes.
I'm gonna go watch SVU for a couple of hours and see if I can figure out what you mean.
That's pretty great. Okay, maybe he can. Part of what I really liked about Psych was he made references to like obscure '80s stuff all the time. I think it was '80s, maybe it was '90s.
It was mostly '80s stuff.
And even when I didn't get it. Because I didn't know what he was referencing, I knew exactly what he meant.
Mm-hmm.
And what actually would be so powerful was if our character did the same thing, but with like movies and TV and stuff, you know, like with basically all the IPs we're big fans of, like the Muppets and even smaller stuff like Bluey and all of that. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like, we make references to the Muppets and Ratatouille, the Incredibles. It's a lot of Disney.
It is. It's pretty Disney
almost,
heavy.
Almost exclusively Disney.
Yeah.
Keep it up, guys. You know, that part. So I'm thinking really obscure IPs. You can just make jokes at other people's expense. I'm really digging Charlie. We should flesh out the other characters. Should we flesh them out first, or should we start coming up with the actual murder case that we gotta solve first?
I think we should flesh out the characters. Characters are our department.
Mm-hmm.
So, Ebb. Yeah. What's Ebb like? Ebb is structured and academic. Yeah. He knows many things.
He's a nerd.
I don't know. I mean, he's a historian.
Yeah. I'm exclusively following the psych formula from here on out because I love it. I love the show. And, you know, it ran for, like, what, 8 seasons?
Something like that. 7, like 8 seasons.
Maybe. I don't remember. But it ran a long time, and I thought it was really good. Both very hard to do.
True.
So what made Bert and Guster so great was they were super tight, and, like, when they got together, they were super silly. But Gus knew how to be serious. Sean pretty much did not. Gus was an encyclopedic level of knowledge as a resource.
And the super sniffer.
And the super sniffer. He could just smell very well. So that was... It was like a walking, talking shortcut for plot devices.
Yeah.
It was like, huh, 857.
Are you all, are you all Rain Man for zip codes or area codes?
Yeah, exactly. So, and he was also a pharmaceuticals salesman, so yep. He knew a lot of drugs and stuff just from their names.
Which comes up a lot in crime shows.
Exactly.
Pills.
So I'm thinking he should be a historian, but it should all be centered around crime. So there you go. He, like, knows crimes. Like, he can cite specific actual cases, whereas Charlie can cite, like, cop shows and, you know, mystery movies and stuff.
Yeah. Okay. So, I like that. We got like a narrative guy and a history guy.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And the big villain, like, that goes over the course of, like, multiple episodes. Because, you know, we only ever deal with one criminal, one murder per episode until we start reaching the end of a season. Then we have, like, a 2, 3, even 4 part mystery unfold. The big villain can be, like, a listener on the podcast and then leave, like, a themed mystery for Charlie to solve, and at first he's loving it, and then he's like, no, like, we're chasing a sociopath and someone might get hurt.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that would be cool.
That's awesome.
Holy, that's awesome. So we've got Ebb, we've got Charlie. Ebb is the smart one. Charlie is the street smart. It's book smart and street smart. Together they are an unstoppable detective
duo.
We should have, on the official detective side, you know, actually a part of the force, we should have one, like, hyper bureaucrat, someone who is like, the rules are there for a reason. You follow the rules not because they're right, but because they are the rules. And that will be John and the other one, Marcy. Yeah, John and Marcy. Marcy will be the, like, as long as the right guy goes to prison and we do things morally. So she'll hit up Charlie and Ebb, you know, on her cell phone, and they'll be like, you want to know how we got this evidence? And she's like, I do not.
Yep.
And John will be like, don't call them anymore, I hate them. And it's basically psych.
And then there's the episode where John is accused of a crime, because there's always those episodes.
Indeed. So let's start outlining the pilot. How about
let's
see that first scene. What is the first thing we see? It's the most important image of the episode. The very first thing we see, should it be something like seemingly serious that we sort of usurp with a silliness to it, like, look how little seriously Charlie takes these things? Or should it be something super symbolic
in a
single image?
I got it. It's like, it's the Chicago skyline, which most of us don't recognize because we don't know stuff.
Okay.
It's like, Chicago, crime, darkness, danger lurking around every corner in every dark alley. And it's like, it's got like this guy with a knife coming up behind somebody else and then saying, but before we get into that, I want to talk to you about Squarespace.
Oh my gosh. That would be so
it just cuts
funny.
Him into him. Before we talk about that.
But before we get into that, let's talk about Squarespace. Squarespace is the easiest website for you to make your own websites. Oh my gosh, yeah. That would be... If I saw that, I would have to pause the TV because I would not stop laughing. You just struck gold, brother.
Comedy gold right there.
Oh gosh, that's good. Okay, so we start in an episode of Charlie and Ebb's like web series, and then, you know, that's basically like a cold open kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I am now picturing the intro being his just YouTube intro, but probably not. Oh my gosh, or maybe, you know, that could be pretty funny if like Charlie is such an egomaniac that he like starts making podcast and web series episodes out of the cases he's asked to work. So it's like, and then he just names the series whatever we name the show, you know.
Yeah,
all right.
I mean, like Psych. So I mean, yeah, I think that makes sense, especially if, you know, he's a private investigator, he gets his license.
Yeah.
After this,
man. That's so great.
And he starts doing that, and he's frequently reminded that this is reckless, irresponsible, and probably not morally sound.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So there we've got our first scene, a cold open.
I mean, there's definitely got to be an episode where it's like, we've been hired, they get hired as bounty for a bounty hunting job. Like, he just walks out with a Boba Fett helmet.
Yes!
And he's like, stop that. Take that off. And he takes it off. And he's got a dog the bounty hunter wig under.
Yo! This is a great show!
This is so fun. This is absolutely hilarious.
And it's so great because it's just Psych!
Yeah. Yes. It's just, and you know, it follows the Psych formula of, let's get a little bit into a subculture into every episode. This one's at a private school. This one is about a comic book convention. This one's about, who cares?
Yes. Everything. Yo. Okay. I'm really digging it. Okay. I am really digging it.
So how do they get, we're outlining that pilot episode. How do they get the first case? Does he prioritize snail mail? So it's just like, we got this envelope. And it's like, nobody gives envelopes anymore. Gimme.
That's what makes it, like, cool. He's like, if someone went through the effort of this showmanship, I want to get into it. You know what I mean? So, like...
Yeah, it's like, look at this. Like, feel this envelope. The meatiness of this feels like I'm getting into college.
You're on fire with the jokes, man. So, he basically, if the audience sees something and they're, like, kind of made excited by it, our protagonist is equally as excited about it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, giant crate comes in the mail to their office. He's like, there's like a 30% chance there's a head in there. And he's like, stop, Charlie. And he's like, what else would be in there? And Ed like, yeah, you know there's a head in there. Dude, stop. I swear to God. No, you have to open it now. He's like, I'm not opening the head box. Okay.
See, you're also there. We're in it.
Now there's like a 35% chance.
It doesn't go up just because you said it, doesn't it?
Hey, man, Schrodinger's cat. You don't even know what that
does
is.
Does it? Now it's like 85%. It's called the head box.
It's called Schrodinger's head box. I'm not opening the head box. That's gross.
That's definitely the second episode.
Yeah. Oh,
it's like an 85. There's like a 30% chance there's a head in there. Look at it. What else is going to be in it?
Look at the shape. Look at the size. So
what's in the box?
We gotta stop coming up with absolute heater jokes, and we gotta start coming up with the outline for the pilot. And since this is the pilot, You know what? I'm going to bind us to a set of rules that are super artificial and stupid, but this is how pilots, you know, get sold. We're not going to make it super themed in any one way. We're going to let the characters carry it, like, completely. You know, the very first episode of Psych had nothing to do with Star Wars, with Indiana Jones, with some obscure 80s reference.
Uh-huh.
It was just a crime that Sean saw, and then he went out and tried to solve it, and then he, you know, solved it in the way that every episode was going to work out. He's being super silly, and he's relying on other people, and but he's getting the result.
Right. Okay.
So we're pretty much doing that.
Okay.
So I think the first half... So we're going to pretend it's a 50-minute episode. The first half is the usual. They're going through solving a cold case, and they're basically putting on the finishing touches on a new episode, and he calls up someone who is a detective, because it wouldn't make too much sense for him to call up Emmy, the M.E., to be like, hey, if you want to solve, we solved another cold case. And maybe that's how they make a lot of money, is like solving cold cases and just sort of like asking for an under the table payment to be like, hey, by the way, if you want to take the credit for solving this before we put this episode out. And that's pretty unethical.
But no, yeah.
I imagine that's unethical.
I imagine. Like, anonymous. I mean, but people offer rewards and stuff. Governments offer rewards for information solving crimes.
Yeah. Okay. That's pretty dope. So,
I mean, like, they do a show, they do a podcast about crimes in one city.
Yeah. It's a bit tough. So that's how you know there's a lot of potential here.
Yeah.
Charlie calls up his ex. I'm thinking we make his ex a detective.
Detective.
Yeah.
Boo.
She can still be named Emmy, just because...
Fair enough, yeah.
Don't forget where you come from, Emmy.
Right, so now our medical examiner is Sandwich.
Yes. So now she's just a detective who eats a sandwich at one point.
Oh, I thought we were still going to have a medical examiner who eats sandwich.
We'll still have a medical examiner who eats a sandwich in surrounded by dead bodies to show you how used to it they are.
Yeah.
But right now he calls up Emmy.
It's like one time.
Emmy very gladly takes credit. Because she doesn't want... Basically, what's happening is she takes credit for solving the cold case. And then Charlie and Eb just sort of pretend that they solved it. When in actuality, they did. But when they put up their YouTube video or podcast episode or whatever, they basically are saying, hey, we solved it. And everybody's like, yeah, right, you're not cops. When in actuality, they did.
Uh-huh.
So, that's most of the first half. Somewhere about a third to halfway through, before they finish up that cold case, and they call up Emmy and say, like, hey, turn in the paperwork so that we can do this legally.
Yeah.
He gets the envelope, and he doesn't... Maybe he tells Eb about it, maybe he doesn't. Or maybe Eb is going through the mail, and he's like, oh, Eb, I want that one.
Yeah.
He's like, bro, come on. He takes it. And then he starts looking into it. And then he does that pretty much exclusively by himself. And then he turns in the case where now, just past halfway through the episode, when he calls up Emmy. Or no, not when he calls up Emmy. He calls up the random number. And this will be like the midpoint twist. He's on the phone with whoever, because the envelope came with a phone number to call. And he's like,
right.
Hey, thank you so much for this episode of the podcast or web series or whatever we're going to do, who should I give the shout out to? And he's like, oh, that doesn't matter. And he's like, so who did it? And he's like, oh, it was Nancy. And he's like, oh my gosh, no way. He just goes, it was Nancy. And then they just hang up immediately. And he's like, who should I give the shout out to? Hello? Oh, well. And it has a case number somewhere on there. Maybe he, like, you know, uses his street smarts to figure out something that was censored on.
He does like that thing with a pen rubbing on the underside one that never works.
Yeah, exactly. He'll be like case number, and then that part is like whited out or something, and he
that's gotta be in an episode of this, by the way. It's like that's never actually worked.
Yeah. He's like, that never worked. Hey, they must have used some force on that stamp. So there's that. And then he hits up Emmy and he's like, hey, double feature for you here. You get to turn in two cases in 1 week. This and that. And she's like freaking out. And he's like, the case number is, and then she lists off the case number for him. And he's like, well, how did you know that? And she's like, because I'm working that case right now. What did you do? Oh, no.
And we're like, I told someone who a murderer is, probably.
That would be pretty funny. She'd be like, did you tell anyone else this?
Don't get mad.
And then a close up of him on the phone. And it's like a really dramatic moment. You can't see his other hand. Like a bunch of wax paper. Like, I'm going in a tunnel. And he hangs up, and Eb walks in. What's up? I think we're in trouble. And then the last third or so of the episode is basically Charlie using his street smarts to figure out who that was on the phone.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I really like that.
It's like, he'll rely on Eb to... it's a payphone, first of all.
Got it. Okay, I really like that. It's like, all right, go back to the case. Who was involved? It's like, all right, we got to go talk to these people. I don't want to leave the apartment.
Can't we Google them?
Can't we Google them? FaceTime. Can we FaceTime? Is that... do people still FaceTime? We all got so into Zoom, and...
we can just star 67. Do, do, do. I didn't think... I don't know what I thought that would do. Just call them back. Okay.
Okay, I like that. So let's do like the simplest version of this case. Like, what do we want it to be? I don't think that really, that doesn't really matter, I guess.
Yeah.
Nick,
The thing is, the fun of these cases is in the details.
Yeah.
And that's exclusively the one thing we're not supposed to get into, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. All right.
Like, the color of the chalk that rubbed off on someone's hands was what gave them away, and that's what broke the case for our protagonist that everybody else missed.
Yeah, but... it's the victim's brother. Everybody thought it was the boyfriend. It's actually the boyfriend's sister for monetary reasons or something.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that.
There we go.
But the point is, what really develops...
The guy who places the call is the victim's brother.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
But what all that really matters about developing is we've got three detectives now. Maybe Emmy can replace... Marcio. Emmy can replace Marcy, and she'll be like the two lady cops. So there will be Marcy and Emmy. Bye, John. You are pretty boring anyway.
John can be the lieutenant or something. Captain feels too high. He's the lieutenant or sergeant or something.
Yeah, sure.
It's not that like he doesn't like these guys, it's that he likes the rules.
Yeah.
We follow the rules because they are the rules.
There you go. Oh my gosh, this is fun. Marcy and Emmy. Yeah, I guess that works. Having the ex and like the girl who he'll have the will then won't they thing go on with. And maybe we don't do that over the course of the whole show, of it just being the one girl that you know he'll end up with. Maybe we do it in a more, you know how newer TV tends to do it, like, we do tease, like, oh, they're gonna end up together, and then they do date by the end of, like, season two.
Yeah.
And then they split off, and they're like, that was fine, but, like, you know, we weren't feeling it. The ones who really nailed that were Community and a second example.
I'm sure.
Yeah. Community really nailed that with Jeff and Britta.
Yeah.
Because they were like, oh, you're gonna wanna see it, and then you see it, and you're like... but now what? Oh, Something else, I guess. And they were like, yeah, I mean, we're just going to pretend.
I'm a big fan of, oh, something else, I guess. And now for something completely different.
So what is the arrangement they make at the end of the episode that sort of locks Charlie and Eb in? Is it that we just know we're going to keep coming back to them? Or...
I think... that I think there's something great. There's something to be said for, like, these are guys who he spends all this time. They've spent all this time figuring stuff out. Like, it's they get Nancy arrested. Like, there's just sort of this moment of like, we made that happen.
I don't want Charlie to be too good of a person too quick.
Fair enough. Yeah. Basically, like, I mean, but that's egomaniacal. It's like, we made that happen.
Yeah, okay.
My intelligence can, like, alter the fabric of reality.
That's pretty great.
Like, this isn't an idea. This isn't, like, cold cases that, like, have no consequences anymore. I can decide who goes to prison.
Oh, gosh.
I can save lives or destroy them.
Okay, so... I guess it's not the psych route where he, like, has to keep helping. He's like, yo, this is where it's at. So we'll take, like, the private eye exam or something.
He's like, like, you are never going to do this again. Scout's honor. What does a PI exam cost?
Exactly. And then, like, that's the end of the episode, is Eb being like, bro, that was so stressful, jumping through all those hoops to do things, like, you know, the right way with the paperwork and all of that. Like, I'm glad we did good, but, oh my gosh, it's just so much easier to do it our old way. And then they, like, get a new letter in the mail, and he's like, should we respond to this now and let them know we don't do that anymore? And then Charlie is like, what are you talking about? And he's got, like, the badge or certificate or whatever right there. He's like, we do this now. And he's like, no! And then it's over. Oh, man. And then episode 2 is the box. That's a great bit.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, man. You know there's like a 30% chance he's head in that box. He's like, no, there's not. He's just sitting with the knife, not opening it. So what is in the box? Shut up. You open it. I'm not opening the head box. That's a great bit.
Yeah. But we don't. It just occurred to me, we don't know what's in the head box.
No, we don't need to. That's the writer's room problem.
Yeah, that's the plot guy.
We never came up with a name this show. I was thinking Eb and Flo playing with Charlie's name there, but that's kind of lame.
Podcast Crime Boys.
What's the... the Podcast Crime Boys. I guess it could be something about solving cases. Like, basically... making the idea a very serious world of crime and treating it with levity and right. Not seriously enough. So, like, thawed cases or something like that.
Oh, I mean, that's not bad.
It could just be Charlie and Eb solve crimes. That could be...
That's actually... there's kind of a fun thing to that.
Charlie and Eb solve crimes. That would be pretty dang funny.
You know what? Actually, I like it.
I love that.
There's
that
fun. There's a funness to that.
That's new age levity right there. Yeah, is literally just saying what's happening. That's like spitting in the eye of not only... that's not only treating it with levity. That's spitting in the eye of the old naming.
Yeah. Like, it's got to be clever. It's got to be snappy. Okay, but what if it's not? Yeah,
exactly. Charlie and Eb solve crimes.
There we go. All right. I gotta say, I really do think this story has been tapped.
Yeah, I'm really digging it. I like this a lot.
All right.
The end?
The end.
Thanks for listening to this episode of StoryTap. If you enjoyed, make sure to leave a review on iTunes or Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And follow us on Twitter @StoryTapPodcast. It helps a ton. And thanks again.